Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Making us part of your daily routine is something we really appreciate. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for taking us with you on the ride to work, to the gym, on a run, wherever it is that you're going. Thanks for doing that. Today we are brought to you by SeatGeek. It is the best app and website for getting tickets. They do all the great work for you, and we've got a deal for you that's going to be coming up in a few minutes. But SeatGeek, great app, lots of things to go buy tickets for, so download them today. Joining me, John Corrales, today, we're kicking it old school. My first podcast love. One, Charles, quotes, Chuck McKenney, Red's Army's own, joining me on the podcast today. Woo! Chuck!
Thank you for that introduction. It feels good. And I know deep down in my heart that you've exhausted all other options and had no other choices to fill in and participate. And that led you to me. And I'm honored.
Yep. You're honored. I scraped the bottom of the barrel, and there you are. Basically where I left you 2 years ago when we did our shows.
That's where I can be found. Yes.
If anybody hasn't been listening or hasn't been following Red's Army, you're just a listener of the podcast. Chuck and I, first of all, 11 years ago started Red's Army?
Yes. Yes.
11 years. How stupid are we to still be blogging in our 40s for 11 years?
Whoa. Let's not reveal too much information, okay?
Sorry. I'm sure your Tinder profile still has you at 33.
It's the love of the game, man. It's the love
it
of
is.
The game.
It is. It's in our blood. We have sacrificed a lot, including many relationships and opportunities probably to make money in other professional avenues, but here we are. It's been a while, and we used to do a show. We used to call it the two-man game on Blog Talk Radio and whatever, but been a while. We're back. We're going to be talking about Isaiah. I've asked you on Twitter for some questions using the Rain and Jays hashtag, so let's just dive into it. The Isaiah stuff Jay and I talked about in the last podcast, but since then, and since it's been kind of put to bed, Isaiah came out today and said, yeah, he was frustrated and, you know, he's still going to be himself, but, you know, he reached out to Brad right after that he made those comments about the coaching. And Brad Stevens said, yeah, he reached out to me right away, so I didn't lose any sleep over it. But I want to read some comments. This is from Danny Ainge to Steve Bulpet. And this is in the Boston Herald. I'm sure we'll have much more on this on the morning dump on redsarmy.com. So I'll read. It's a little long, but I'm going to read the quote from Danny Ainge to the Boston Herald, Steve Volpet. Nobody prepares for a game more than Brad. Not even Isaiah, who really prepares. Players don't know what it's like to coach. I took Isaiah's comments as frustration. He hates to lose, but good leaders don't look for blame. It's easy to lead when things are going well. It's much more difficult when adversity strikes and everyone will face adversity. I know Brad is a great coach, even one of the best, but that doesn't mean he won't make a mistake, just like great players do. But I know he will learn from his mistakes because he doesn't look to place blame, but looks internally for what he can do to maximize his talent. I talk with Isaiah about becoming a better leader, and I think he can and will develop into one. He, too, will learn from this. So, Chuck, I'll let you go first. Your reaction to that quote from Danny Ainge today regarding the Isaiah Thomas situation.
I mean, I think it's great. It's great. It's great feedback. It's great commentary. It's great analysis of the situation from Danny. It's exactly what I expected from him. Danny is a truth teller. I think he just laid it out there. He didn't make too much of it, but he did make his point clear to Isaiah, and it's specifically that line: "Good leaders don't look for blame." And that's exactly where this whole thing, and that's kind of why it rubbed me the wrong way. Look, it's one thing for a veteran or for the best player on a team to maybe call out a younger player or even just another player. I think player-on-player criticism is absolutely fine, and it's needed sometimes to rise up people. But I just feel like you cross the line when you take the criticism to a coach. And even, again, just to kind of clarify my position on Isaiah's comments, I didn't think they were the end of the world. I didn't look at them and think, I can't believe he said that about Brad. But I was a bit put off and I think kind of surprised that he would go there. I mean, he did couch everything by saying, the players have to play better, the coaches have to coach. But he didn't. I mean, there was a dig at Stevens, and I didn't think it was necessary. So just to bring this all back, I think that, Ainge said the right thing. He's just making the record clear that Isaiah's comments were a bit out of line and that this is what he needs to do. And I think Isaiah is going to take it to heart, and hopefully he learns from it. He seems like he's that type of guy. I'm not expecting him to lash out or shy away from this. I fully believe he's going to take it and learn. I mean, it's a learning experience for him. He's had a fantastic season, but part of this, being the guy, being the man, you want to point to your watch, king of the fourth, all that stuff. You have to handle these, post-game interviews the right way. And for the most part, he does. And this has just been one little blip. And I'm supremely confident that he's going to learn from this, and it's not going to be an issue going forward.
I think one thing that's kind of we haven't brought up, and it was asked of him today, he's kind of new to all of this. And I think that's something that we haven't really thought of a lot when we're analyzing this little situation. And look, I agree with you, and I've been saying the same thing. I've kind of moved on from this, but since Ainge has spoken, we'll just kind of touch on it again today. But Isaiah is this is the first time he's ever been in any sort of MVP conversation. Last year, he surged into a kind of injury replacement all-star season. He was definitely worthy of the all-star team, but he didn't really make it at first. Someone got hurt, and then he made it. This year, he was in position to be potentially a starter on the all-star team. He is by far the leader of this team, but his whole career has been fighting, trying to claw to the top. And now he's at the top, and this part is new. So when Danny says that he believes he'll learn from this, it really is a learning experience. He has to understand that, yeah, he's going to stay true to himself, and he's always been told to tell the truth. But there are things that you can say that are truthful, but omit the little bit about the coaching, because that's going to be something that gets blown up. And I think in his head, when he said it, he was just expressing some frustration, and he didn't think that it was going to carry on for a couple of days. Now he sees, damn, I'm not just Isaiah Thomas. I'm IT, like you said, King in the Fourth, blah, blah, blah. So I'd like to think that he has seen the worst of what was, to him, an offhand comment. I love that Danny Ainge said what he said, because that's something that I don't think Brad Stevens could say. Publicly, anyway. But Danny Ainge is the guy who puts the whole team together and can is the guy you're going to have to negotiate against, and the guy who could trade you to come out and say that stuff. It does carry a little more weight, a little different kind of weight than if Brad Stevens had come out and said anything. I think Brad handled it the right way, said, look, it's done. He talked to me. He handled it. It's cool. We get frustrated from time to time. He said something like, you know, I got to talk after games and it's hard, so I understand. He really played this the right way with Isaiah. I think everybody's played it the right way. It's a learning experience for Isaiah, and we're moving on. But it was interesting to see what Danny said.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, of course. You know, what Isaiah could have said to get his point across would have been, you know, more or less to turn the focus onto the players and say, you know, when coach calls your number, you know, even if you're surprised to be getting that call, guys like Mickey or whomever Young, whomever else made up that questionable rotation, you need to be ready. When coach calls you, you need to be ready. And that's really what should have been said. But again, just like you said, I love the way this front office, I love the way ownership, you know, but from Wick to Danny to Brad, man, it just always seems seamless. Like everybody's on the same page. They handle it. They handle everything the right way. This really was. I mean, you know, you throw this situation into New York. I mean, you know,
oh my
Phil
God.
Jackson might be tweeting about it. Carmelo might be sulking about it. You know, so I think we should again feel blessed that we have these pieces in place.
It's so true. Phil Jackson would have gone to Charlie Rosen, who would have published some sort of article. Jackson's quotes never really would have been in any sort of context, or maybe even a quote at all. So you're right. This is a good, stable situation where something like this, which does have potential to kind of get out of control, it doesn't. It's handled. It's done. If anything, I think Isaiah is going to use it as some sort of motivation, because he uses a breeze blowing the wrong way as motivation to go up. But we're recording this before the Golden State game, so I'm not going to record after the Golden State game. I don't know if either of us are going to make it through the Golden State game, but we're gonna try, and we'll talk about that tomorrow somehow. So moving on, I just want to say that there's a lot, this game tonight in Golden State, it's a big ticket game. There are tournament games going on all over the country, wherever you are in Boston, other parts of the country. If you want to go to one of these games, download the SeatGeek app, because buying tickets for these sports, these concerts and everything, it's been confusing up until now. SeatGeek has come along with an amazing app and website. SeatGeek.com makes it easier than ever. If you want to go to one of these conference tournaments, I have the SeatGeek app. I'm actually going to the ACC tournament tomorrow night to catch some. I'm going to actually see Florida State. So I get a chance to see Jonathan Isaac and get a little scouting report to see if the Celtics want to go with another small forward. And, you know, who knows about that. But I'll be there, and I'll tell you that SeatGeek makes it easy to look for tickets. You download the app. You open it up on your phone. You've got the red, the yellow, the green dots all over the place. The green dots, it's just like a stoplight. It means go. Those are the tickets that you want to check out. Those are the best deals. SeatGeek has done the work for you. They're going to get you the most bang for your buck. Everything's giving a grade based on value. You'll get to see immediately the underpriced, the overpriced seats, the ones you want to avoid, so it saves you time. And it saves you money, and we save you money by giving you a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter LO Celtics, and you will get $20 back after your SeatGeek, after you make your first purchase on SeatGeek. So download the app, enter the promo code LO Celtics today, the website, the app, it's great stuff. Very easy to go buy tickets. Okay. We asked you, I asked you, on Twitter to send me some questions using the hashtag RainingJays, and you stepped up with a few good ones here. So, Chuck, let's bang these out before the game. Let's start with looking ahead to the playoffs. A couple people asked the same question. Liam Hines 7 and at Patrick's 1591 basically asking the same question. Who do you want to see in the first round, and who do you want to avoid in the first round?
I just want to say that I'm the team isn't playing well now, but I'm confident. I mean, they've been streaky this year. They've had a few dips where they've lost, whether it's 3 of 4 or 4 of 6 or something like that. So, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. But if you take a peek ahead to the schedule, you see a much softer road ahead. And I think that, you know, the Wizards right now are just a game behind in the 3 seed. And if they win tonight, Boston loses, you know, those two teams flip. So for some reason, I have confidence that we're going to stay in that 2 spot. That's how I see it. I mean, in the first round, I want to stay at 2 because I'd like to avoid the Pacers only because, you know, guys like Paul George, there's the possibility that they can get crazy and carry an entire series. I'm not worried about Detroit. Chicago, I think, is too, even though they have Wade and Butler, I just think that's too much of a schizo situation with Hoiberg and the way things are working there. So for me, in that first round, I would just look to avoid the Pacers. That might, even as I say that, that sounds a little strange. But I'm you know,
they can be tough. I agree with you there. They can be tough. You Paul George, you got Miles Turner. They can put it together. They should be better than they are.
Yeah, and then so I don't remember the last time this team won a playoff series, but I'm fairly confident that we can win a first-round series. It's that second round, right, and really what it's turning out to be, are we going to be playing Washington or Toronto? Now, Toronto still, even with Lowry out, and let's say he doesn't even come back, we still have problems with DeRozan to the point where we can't stop him. It doesn't matter who else the Raptors have. He kills us. So I have major concerns about playing that Toronto team. You know, I know Washington has some good players and some great players, and there's that rivalry brewing there. But I hope this doesn't come back to bite me, but I'd rather play the Wizards because I think they're more apt to implode or I don't know. It's just Toronto scares me, even without Lowry.
I agree. In the first round, looking at the matchups now, I agree with you. I think the Celtics, even if things flip, and as we are recording, the Wizards are playing the Nuggets, and they are up pretty good. At this point, it's 63-46 Washington in the second quarter. So I would guess that they're going to win that game, and the Celtics have the Warriors, so that's not going to be easy. There's your analysis for you. So let's assume that they flip a little bit. But looking forward, the Wizards had 14 road games coming up. The Celtics have 7 road games remaining. So home-heavy schedule, light schedule, even though they lost to Phoenix, I think a lot of those games are extremely winnable games. And the road games that they have are Philly. They include Philly and Brooklyn. So they can go on a bit of a run. The Wizards are 12 and 15 on the road, and so they're in Denver tonight, so they'll probably increase that, but they don't have a great road record, and they've got 14 road games left, 13 after this game here. So I look to the Celtics to stay in second, and I'm happy to face Detroit in order. I would rather face Detroit, Chicago than Indiana. I don't want to face Atlanta just because I'm sick of playing Atlanta in the playoffs. It's such a God. It's different now, but I have PTSD when it comes to that. I agree. The Wizards are much shakier, even though they've made this run and they look pretty good. The Wizards, I trust them to kind of implode a little bit. They get their implodability factor is a lot higher, let's put it that way, than Toronto, I think, for all the reasons that you gave. Do you trust Otto Porter to keep doing what he's doing? Do you trust Bradley Beal to remain healthy throughout this whole thing? I don't know. There's always a chance that one of these guys is going to get hurt. So that's the road I would rather take as opposed to facing the Raptors. But we shall see. Okay. Next question comes from at Lechblog, my friend from Australia, the Aussie from the Christmas Day game who I met at Madison Square Garden. Is there any value in bringing Sully back, and how much would it cost?
Wow. I'd say no. I don't think he's part of what, you know, I was a little bit disappointed that there wasn't a smaller move made. I never thought they were in the running for Bogut, and I was actually surprised that it seemed like it came down to Cleveland and Boston. I thought there might be a person out there that Ainge could pluck to kind of give them a little bit of help. I wasn't for the moving the first round pick in Rozier allegedly for Ibaka for 2 months. I wasn't for that deal. But again, you know, it's hard to be kind of miffed at Ainge for not getting player X when I can't identify player X. But it would have been nice to get some rebounding help. I just don't think Sullinger, as good or above average of a rebounder he is, I don't see how they're going to – I just don't see him fitting back in here. And I think there were still questions about his conditioning even in Toronto. I just feel like we're tired of that, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. The thing about bringing a guy like that in, first of all, incremental improvement. That's something that I keep bringing up with these questions. You could bring him in. Maybe people would have wanted PJ Tucker or one of these other guys. Sure, fine. Would have helped. Absolutely would have helped. But what does it do ultimately? What's the big picture? What do we get out of it? Does it help us win a playoff series that we were going to lose? I don't know. I don't think so. Is he such a difference maker that he gets us let's say we face Washington or Toronto in the second round? Is PJ Tucker going to the difference? Is he going to swing that series?
Well, to answer your hypothetical question, he could be if Bradley and or Horford continue to have injury problems, right? So I feel like
sure,
you know, the nine guys that Brad has, you know, his rotation he likes, and I don't think he would take a lateral move throwing someone in the mix, right? I think he's content with those guys, but we keep running into these issues with these injuries and this Horford's mystery elbow, and you know, Bradley coming back with the hamstring. It's just like, man, I just want this team to be healthy. Can we just be healthy so we can roll our guys out there? It just seems like these little injuries turn into big injuries. And then when you have these holes, we're still not good enough to overcome, you know, holes in the rotation for extended periods of time.
Yeah. My big thing here is that we as fans and analysts and whatever will look at this and say, we have cap space. We have this exception. We can do this. But as Wick Grosbeck and the ownership group, when you look at bringing a guy in, so you bring in a guy like Sullinger, let's say, or Tucker or whomever, you've got to pay that guy. And you pay them a minimum salary of million something dollars, prorated for the remaining part of the season. You got to cut a guy for whatever. So you cut, say, Jordan Mickey. Let's just pretend, or James Young. Well, James Young, it makes $1.8 million. Mickey makes $1.2 million. So to cut him, you're on the hook for either one of those guys. You're on the hook for approximately $300,000. Real money, actual money that comes out of your pocket. Boom. You also have to give approximately $300,000 to the next guy. So now you've spent $600,000, which for Wick Grosbeck isn't a ton of money, but why would you spend $600,000 if you didn't have to? And these guys didn't get rich from by giving their money away. So why spend that when you could just keep that $600,000, bag it as profit, or spend $600,000 on something for the team, you know, an upgrade, you know, equipment or something in the arena, you know, you add that to other money that you've saved, whatever. Like, that's real money, this actual money. And if Danny Ainge is saying, I want to do this, here's what I think, and Wick Grosbeck says, well, what does that get us? And Ainge says, I don't know, a little bit of help rebounding. It's very possible that they could just sit there and be like, nah, we don't want to do that. The real money is being spent, and we have to look at it besides the salary cap fake money that we look at on the cap sheet. There's real money. And if the Celtics aren't going to get significantly better, then why spend the real money? If I'm Wick Grosbeck, why would I want to spend that real money? He'll spend it when it comes time for a contender and we are fighting for that first seed and we need a little extra rebounding help. Then he'll do what Toronto did. That's a different story. But right now, where we are, where we're trying to get to, that doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense.
But I still think that if Danny or Brad said, you know what, we think this guy will help. If we get, let's just say Tucker's the guy, he'll help us lengthen our rotation. And, you know, Wick might say, I mean, there's still value in moving from the first round to the second round. I mean, they do get the playoff gates and stuff like that. So I feel like if Brad or Danny had a consensus and then went to Wick and said, you know, we want this guy, we think he's going to help us, you know, marginally for this season, I think Wick would throw the money around. I don't think, to me, the reason they didn't add anybody is because Wick and is because Danny and Brad were like, yeah, I don't see how he's going to help. We have to integrate him in. You know, I don't see how much better he is than say, you know, Jonas or the, you know, I feel like they weren't in agreements and they never took it to Wick because I get the sense Wick would spend whatever Danny tells him to spend. Maybe I'm naive.
Sure. No, I think if he makes a solid case, but if the difference is getting out of the first round and into the second round, then yeah, you can offset that with whatever money you're making during the games. And from a competitive standpoint and a fan base standpoint, yeah, you want to advance from the first to the second round. That's different than I think the Celtics right now feel like pretty confident they should get out of the first round no matter what. And so if, like, this Al Horford injury that he's coming back from, I'm pretty sure that's probably one of those, well, if it was the playoffs, he'd be playing. You know, so they're just trying to take it easy and make sure their long-term isn't jeopardized by anything. So I'm not too concerned by that. And if the Celtics, if they really feel like a guy is going to make the difference from getting from the second round to the finals, then yeah, that's a way to convince a guy to spend some money. I just don't see any of these guys as get us past Toronto, get us past Washington alone, this guy will do it type of player. So that's why I don't think it's worth adding some of these guys. Maybe Tucker, he's on the borderline, but you know, that's kind of where I fall on that. One more at T Zepiel. Trevor Zepiel. Sorry about that. Which free agent do you think would come to Boston and would fit the best?
Wow.
I tell you what, I've been slowly buying more and more into the Gordon Hayward thing. I think when you look at the season that he's having, I think he is really taking the next step, that he is becoming a bona fide star, and he might, when you talk about max contracts and years of service, he might cost less than some of these other guys would long term, which is still going to be a lot. I mean, he's still going to end up making $30 million by the end of that contract per a year. But I'm believing in him. I think that he is at the right age, the right time, maturing, can play the two, can play the three, and you can put him in there without giving up Crowder. Crowder can play the three or the four. Jaylen Brown can play the two or the three. You could play all three of them together and look pretty damn good. Now, Crowder got a little bit pissed off that people were cheering for Gordon Hayward, but I think Gordon Hayward would fit alongside any one of those four guys. Now, that raises some questions about where does Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley fit? Where do those guys fit in? There may have to be a trade where maybe one of those guys goes, but I think that, or maybe you just keep them on the bench and you just have a very deep bench and you go, you roll with it. But I'm being convinced that Howard is a legitimate top target for the Celtics. I mean, I'm sorry, what did I say?
Howard, don't scare us.
No, sorry. Hayward.
I'm with you, and for a couple of reasons. For one, because it'll allow us to dig up probably the 3, 4, 5 posts I've written over the last few years that have speculated about Hayward coming to Boston and me absolutely railing against the idea. because I had my sights set on much bigger names and bigger players. And two, you're right. He's emerging. He really is. And everything you read and hear about this guy is that he's elevated his game. And I am not going to underestimate the lore of Stevens, of Brad Stevens here. I mean, they joke about it on sports talk radio around here, but in this particular case, I think Hayward is gonna want to come play with Brad. And if the Celtics can, you know, they're going to give him that 4-year max. I can see it coming together. I mean, this is the plan where we draft number one, and then we take Hayward, we sign Hayward, so you know, we get better next year, and then we're kind of grooming our future superstar. Now that kind of model still leaves a lot of questions, like you talked about that logjam at the two and the three, and I agree that Crowder could still be here, and it might just be a situation for what, you know, what can Danny Ainge get? Because I think he has to. I'm not the salary cap guy, but to get the max, they have to relinquish a lot of players, and I think one of which is Olynyk. So that diminishes, you know, the front court a bit, and I wonder if Ainge would have to move Bradley, who will be a free agent after next season, and or Crowder, and see what he can get. Maybe he can finally get some rim protection or package that player with a draft pick to bring somebody to defend and rebound. I don't think we can have everybody together. I think it's just too many players. But I'm excited about that. Again, 2 years ago you told me that was a plan, I would have thrown a tantrum. But now I'm buying in. I'm definitely buying in.
Theoretically, if the Celtics could draft, and let's pretend they get the number one pick. Let's just pretend they get the number one pick and they go Markelle Fultz. Isaiah Thomas in the last Bill Simmons podcast said, go for it, get Markelle Fultz. I could play with him. So this wouldn't be a scenario where the Celtics drafted a point guard and we go, oh, shit, is Isaiah cool with this? Like, he said that he went, because they're both Washington guys, he went back there over the summer, he played with Fultz over the summer, and he said, yep, this is an NBA guy, he can play in the league. So it's already got Isaiah's blessing. Now, if you draft him and you sign, this is all best case scenario, pie in the sky fantasy stuff. You draft Markelle Fultz, you sign Gordon Hayward, you have the potential to turn Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley and a future pick maybe into a pretty good piece, either a starting center or a really good reserve or something, you know, or a couple of good players that maybe fit the team a little bit better. Remember, we have now Jaylen Brown, who will fit in there somewhere, either starting or off the bench. We have the potential for Abdel Nader, who is in the D League and playing extremely well. And if he continues to progress and he could be what Jaylen Brown is this year, next year as a rookie for Boston, then that's a potential, again, fantasy best case scenario thing. We also have Ante Zizic, who's playing extremely well right now. We got Gershon Yabusele, who got hurt, but was playing well. Granted, it was in China in a place where Jimmer Fredette scored 72 points. But those are guys that could come in and help, who could completely remake this team and start Bradley, Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, center that you get from a trade of Bradley and Crowder, or Ante Zizic, and somehow those other guys fit somehow. You got guys on the bench, Nader. We could remake this team and have a really good team with three star players and make your move that way. So there's a lot of things that can happen. It's hard to really grasp all the different avenues that are possible, but that I wouldn't mind that scenario. I think the Celtics could be really good in that scenario.
Yeah, it's that F word again. It's flexibility, right? I mean, with right. all those moving pieces and how the rotation, you know, or the roster could shake out. I do wonder what's going to happen with Olynyk. He's just up and down. There are times when he's going well, I think, oh man, I want him to just get into a groove, and he just doesn't seem to. And sometimes watching him play defense and not box anyone out drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, the X factor in this scenario is, you know, we end up drafting third and then missing out on those, you know, 1-2. Then I will feel like, you know, Ainge might still draft at 3 and feel like he's getting a potential superstar player. But the fans' perspective, you know, I think will be, you know, even if they sign Hayward, is, oh crap, you know, we don't have that guy in waiting. I think getting 1 or 2 will, there's so much buzz about these two being can't miss that I think the fans will be a bit more satisfied with that route. But you know, I've convinced myself we're getting the first pick. I don't know why. I mean, we've been burned before.
Keep doing that. We keep doing it.
For some reason, I feel like our odds increase with every game Brooklyn loses. And it's not the case at all, because it's capped at whatever it is, 25% if they finish with the worst record of getting that first pick. But I just feel like at some point we're due, you know.
Sure. So, hey, but we got the third pick last year, and we all lost our shit.
Yes, we did.
And now now we're looking at Jaylen Brown like, well, this guy could be our best player in 2 years. Like, that's – you don't know how these guys are going to develop. Markelle Fultz, if we get the number one pick, we could pick Markelle Fultz. Everybody would be going bananas and loving it and be like, oh, my God, we got the next great guy. Maybe he doesn't pan out. I mean – So many people think he's can't miss that I doubt that, but you never know. We've seen can't miss guys flounder, not being able to take it to the next level. You never know. But the point is, if we get third, this isn't a two-player draft. This is supposed to be a pretty good draft. Now, there are some questions at 3. Do you go Josh Jackson? Do you go Jonathan Isaac? What do you do with that? At that point, but I think that this draft is deep enough where you can get a quality guy. But I'm with you. I keep using Markelle Fultz as the guy. I've completely talked myself into it. But if it doesn't work out that way, so be it.
Yeah. And again, great point on Brown. And I think he's forgotten when I was thinking about the future of this team. And then, you know, last week, or it was 5 days ago, he was going up against Brandon Ingram against the Lakers. And he, you know, there was one star on the court that night and one rookie star, and it was him. And he really has looked phenomenal over the last, for a rookie, I'm keeping it all in perspective, but considering that I had him out of the rotation, losing minutes to RJ Hunter, I am definitely happy with how he looks nowadays.
Yep. You never know. I was so big on RJ Hunter, and then I don't even know where he is right now. He got cut by the Bulls, and I don't know. He's off somewhere. He must be playing in Europe or something. I've completely lost track of him.
Yeah.
But, oh well. That's it. That'll do it. Chuck,
this is fun.
Thanks for making your – see?
In 2 years.
Why? Yeah. Why do you keep rejecting my invitation?
We can't get into that. We're out of time.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please do on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all of the podcast apps. If it's not there, let us know. We'll get it there. And we can put it we also have an RSS feed on our Audio Boom page. You can grab that and stick it into whatever podcatcher you usually use. You can get it that way. You can follow Rainin_Jays on Twitter, and that can serve as a subscription because you'll get the tweets as soon as the show is published. Rate us 5 stars, not only because we really like seeing all those 5-star ratings, but because that helps spread the word and it helps grow the podcast. And of course, download the SeatGeek app or go to SeatGeek.com to get tickets to any of the upcoming Celtics games to see them down the stretch run, or go to one of the shows that might be coming to town, or to go to one of these March Madness games that will be going on over the next few weeks. You can make sure to do that and get a great deal on whatever tickets you want. So that's been the show. Thanks to Chuck McKinney, Red's Army's own, for joining the show. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.